Coffee Conversations with Cinti is brought to you by influencer marketing specialists, The Salt, inspiring positive brand conversations.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous edition of Coffee Conversations with Cinti. Here's what we do week in and week out. We sit over a great cup of coffee and we converse on all things influencer marketing. And all the time, I almost say normally, but all the time, we call in a subject matter expert. And today I'm joined by alternative media guru and rock star, Mr. Peter Groenewald. It's such an honor to have you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. Lovely having you. A nice cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I feel flattered by those words that you're describing me with.
Thank you so much for coming through. And I was just thinking on my way from home that a conversation in South Africa, a conversation even broader into Africa about influencer marketing, new media, without your name in it, is just not cutting it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, as there's many people that's worked in this area and space, I think it's just by coincidence we've probably been into this space the longest, and we've learned, you know, it's a fast ever-changing kind of space, and we learn, we pay our school fees, and
yeah,
it's almost like life. As you pay school fees, every time you get to know a little bit more and more and more, and then it's all about applying that knowledge for future clients. And I think that's probably how we've become the market leaders in this space, is through experience.
And
like spending our 10,000 hours in this space.
Well, that's quite a lot. And what I want you to do is now to break down the Infinity Group, because I understand it's not just the influencer marketing arm that's within the Infinity Group. Can you maybe in just a minute tell us which SBUs fall under the Infinity Group and what exactly they do? So just to give us some perspective.
Yeah. So there's various companies in the group, but we've built up and quite a beefy influencer section.
Okay.
Where we've got different entities, and I'm actually heading up the whole influencer section.
Okay.
So the one business in that stable is The Salt, and that is really around your nano influencers, brand ambassador kind of individuals. So
okay.
It's a very strong database of over 100,000 people and made them available to be utilized in that space.
That's quite a lot. And is it just local or it spans?
Mostly South Africa.
South Africa.
We've looked at other African countries,
yeah,
but I think it's a very operational business, and as a result we tend to focus mostly on South Africa.
Okay.
But we are engaging partners in other territories in the world.
Yeah.
Because it's a very authentic type of influencer program,
yeah.
And it does not only live online, but it goes offline as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is where the real power of influencing is sitting, is in offline conversations as well.
Yeah.
Then the second business in that division is Webfluential.
Okay.
Which is typically your traditional type of influencer platform.
All right.
Around about 30,000 what we call influencers with significant influence. So those would be your celebrities and that kind of individual.
Okay.
And that business can trade right up in Africa, and we've even executed from South Africa campaigns in the United States.
Okay, all from this space, yeah.
Yeah. So those influencers are positioned across the world.
Yeah.
With a fair chunk of it, I think around about 8,000 in South Africa.
Okay.
Which make us in that celebrity space possibly also the market leader.
Yeah.
In a from a local context.
Yeah.
And I think what's important with both those platforms is we've got a team of collaborators, because in influencer marketing, if you just rely on your access to your database,
yeah,
or on the other end, your technology, invariably these things fall flat.
Yeah.
You need to have a strong team of collaborators which assist in the output being in line with what the request was from a client side.
Yeah.
And both those two businesses got very strong collaborators that's very experienced in that space. And I think that's what's setting us apart from anyone
else. From everybody else.
The third business in that stable is the internship.
Okay.
Where we've for the last year sort of got our teeth into employee advocacy.
Yeah. All right.
Because the thing about employees is they offline, they're very comfortable talking about businesses.
Yeah.
And what they do. But somehow they're
already plugged into the conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But those conversations don't convert to digital conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're helping companies now to make the employees digitally much more visible.
Yeah.
And you can imagine the power of having a network of savvy employees. Ooh. Knowing what they can do and should do and how yeah. to do it on digital platforms.
Your businesses are very unique and interesting. Who else does employee advocacy at that level in South Africa?
Well, we haven't come. So employee advocacy internationally
is
done in two ways. One is that you've got a training element to it.
Yeah, okay.
Our experience is if you just do training, nothing happens.
Yeah, okay.
And then the alternative is the technical guys have jumped onto it and quickly designed programs.
All right.
You get the logo on your laptop. But from our experience, that also doesn't work.
Okay.
So what we do at the internship, we combine the two. There's physical training taking place. Then the collaborator steps in and he does the hand-holding.
Yeah.
And then everything sits in a program that measures it.
All right.
So I think that's what set us apart is we took the best of both worlds. And currently our main focus with that is in the B2B space.
All right.
Because those guys have got very limited communication channels available to them.
Yeah, yeah,
And the internship fits perfectly in there. But at the same time, we're busy doing the programmatic development
right.
in order to do bigger number of participants on B2C channels.
Okay.
And then the last business in the division we've launched just at the start of this year is what we call EchoCast.
All right.
And that's in a fast-growing space of podcasting.
Okay.
Where we potentially giving our clients opportunity for branded content. And again, the podcast producer is the influencer because he's naturally, he's got an audience that follows him and his ability to create content that they've got an affinity to.
So they become
an influencer. It makes sense for brands to then attached to that, and you can be very selective in the type of content I want to attach myself to, we're very excited about that part of the business, and hopefully over the next 12 months to 24 months we can break the hold the traditional radio stations got on the podcast scene in South Africa.
All right.
And try and get more purpose-made niche, like little radio stations, as we
exactly
say.
Yeah,
and the same as like an influencer might say my audience is an Instagram.
Yeah,
there's nothing stopping an influencer for having a podcast and his audience is following.
It's just strictly only,
and that's where we're going. That's the last one that we've launched.
Yeah,
and then I think we cover the whole spectrum of influencer marketing.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, all your business units are very unique and it's like new age ideas. So in this interview, I'm trying to run away from the trap of discussing your story. I think I'll call you back on another day and we discuss where it all started, because you've not just started one successful business but got a number of very successful businesses, and I think our audience can benefit from your knowledge of how do you transcend from startup to a global enterprise like you have. But today I want you to look through your crystal glass, your crystal ball, and tell us where you see influencer marketing going in South Africa and in the region. But before you do that, maybe let's bring this into perspective. What is the world seeing in terms of influencer marketing? And by extension, how is that space playing out in South Africa?
No, I wouldn't have been involved in it unless I've seen it as a growth area. And for me, as I think, as we just seen the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
I think brands are going to find it more challenging to engage with consumers.
Yeah.
People want to talk to people. We all belong to tribes, and we all have discussions within tribes, and with the evolution of social media, that's become the best communication platform there's ever been.
Yeah.
It's so easy to communicate.
Yes.
But brands find it difficult to be part of that conversation.
Yeah.
And hence they have to go to these tribe members to say, how can you introduce me in the conversation?
Yeah.
And there's lots of do's and don'ts there, but I think that's the crux of it.
Yeah.
Is when a brand walks into a WhatsApp group, the rest of the group members walk away.
Yeah.
and that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
So influencer marketing is essentially a tribe member that introduce a brand into the conversation.
Yeah.
At the right time.
Yeah.
When it fits the conversation.
Yeah.
And that's I cannot see that slowing down,
all right,
or disappearing. I just can see it getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. How long has your influencer marketing arm been operational? I know you spoke about it, but I'm trying to hone into.
I think our first business is this year will be 7 years old.
7 years, yeah.
And that's a long time. And I mean, it's, we've learned a lot. It took probably, I think, it's the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's really influencer marketing has taken off in South Africa. We've got a saying in alternative media that once you're on the schedule, then you know then the business is really through that break through the line. And I think in the last 2 years we've gone to the schedule.
Yeah.
So that's where the growth is coming from. Before you get onto the schedule, you really need to go out there and convince the pioneers to try this and test it. Now you've got through that area, now you're into like the early adopters is through it, and you get to that critical mass situation.
What's the one lesson that stands out for you in the last 7 years?
No, there's many lessons.
There's
many lessons. It's a human, it's a natural human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we fear change. That's the
we clamor and cry for it, but we can't handle it.
How I find safety in doing everything everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
It might not work for me, and it might not be working for them, but I find safety in the fact that everyone else is doing
it.
And that is it, you know. It's our job is out there to go and put the numbers on the table and convince people otherwise.
Yeah. And the one mistake that agencies are making in this space, what is it? There should be that one thing that bugs you.
So I think this is what bugs me. Is that a lot of time it takes a lot of time to get people to invest into the space.
Okay.
And it seems like the biggest job is to get the budget allocated to you. Once the budget is allocated to you, the very few times I can see the minds are being applied. Now that I've given these guys these budgets,
okay,
what do I want out of it?
Yeah.
And hence we've actually just formed now at the end of the month, we're launching a strategy division.
Okay.
Because I've seen too many influencer marketing campaigns fall flat.
Yeah.
On the back of not having a proper strategy behind it. And I've went around and I mean it's not core business for most of the people out there. It's not core business for the brand.
Yeah.
It's not core business for an agency. And we said, why don't we go and find an independent petite little agency that can just focus on influencer market strategy? Because as the media owner, we find it difficult. We come quite late into the process to change the strategy.
Yeah.
And I think that will mean that the results will speak for itself again. Because what's bugging me?
Yeah.
It bugs me that people can allocate money, and as soon as the allocation is gone out, the minds are stopped being applied to how we want to get this to
work. Okay. You know, it defeats the whole purpose, isn't it?
It does impact on the outcome.
Yeah. And from a client perspective, what's that one mistake that clients are getting wrong?
No, I think it's you deal with humans here.
Yeah.
These are not billboards, these are not radio ads, it's flight.
Yeah.
So I need to build that relationship. So our companies are the facilitator to that.
Yeah, okay.
But you gotta close the gap between the influencer and the brand.
Yeah.
So for instance, if you're an alcohol beverage and you invite these guys to an evening where they must come and experience your particular product.
Yeah.
Make sure you've got the right glasses. Make sure it's a proper experience for them, because that
So they can equally be able to...
connection with that brand.
Exactly, yeah.
And that brand connection is what they take up.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
So it's no different to you walking into a restaurant as a paying customer.
Yeah.
If you've got a good experience there, you will engage with other people about it.
Yeah.
So brands need to do the same with the influencers, mate. Despite the fact that you're paying us, whenever they interact with you, that experience needs to be amazing.
Yeah. It almost seems like Instagram, in terms of channel, I want us to talk about channels now. It almost seems like Instagram is a natural partner to influencer marketing. Are you seeing that businesses and influencer marketing agencies are now exploring the other channels? Because I figure every channel delivers a different outcome.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, as Instagram is visual.
Yeah.
So it lends itself to certain products.
Yeah. Okay.
But for me, you need the channel is determined by who the audience you're after.
Okay.
The influencer, it doesn't matter if it's an employee or it's a paid for influencer or ambassador, they're just a conduit to an audience.
Yeah.
So you need to find out, like if you're, for instance, looking for middle-aged women.
Yeah.
If that, Where do they sit?
Exactly, yeah.
And if they're not on Instagram, don't try to reach them through Instagram influencer.
Because you're wasting your time and money.
Right, the waste it's a shoot. So,
yeah.
So the idea is always to say is, if I want to talk to that audience, where is that audience? On what platform? And now let me go and find the conduit, being the influencer who's got an affinity to them.
Yeah.
So it's not, I mean, as Instagram is growing, but it's very visual, but I find I doubt that if your message is going a little bit further than visual, that might be right. Or the South African context, if you've got a slightly middle-aged audience, your wastage is big on the Instagram side.
Okay.
That's not the core group that's sitting there.
Yeah. So are we going to see an emergence of additional channels or more channels as we move along?
Influencers will move wherever the channels go. So it's to understand where your audience is, your target market.
Your core audience, yeah.
And in that market, where they are, those platforms that they are communicating, where the communities are sitting, that's where you introduce the influencer.
Okay, so it could be one channel, it could be 100, it could be old or new channels.
It could be completely different. Yeah. So what I think is that one of the common mistakes is we say we want that influencer. But we don't always apply our mind, what does that influencer's audience look like?
Yeah, what do
and
they
that's
bring
why
to the
tools,
table?
A lot of the tools we're deploying in these platforms of ours give you exact insights of what the audience looks like. Because that's at the end of the day you're after. This is just your messenger. The influencer is just a messenger.
Yeah. Earlier on you brought in, while we were offline and we were chatting, and you spoke about how you're peeved at a client coming to say, I want to pick Cinti for my influencer campaign. But one, they don't know where my audience sits. You were telling me there's an instance where you've got a well-to-do influencer who's in South Africa, but his following is predominantly in China.
Yeah, no, that happens all the time. I think it's actually, it's no excuse in this day and age.
Yeah.
If you're deploying influencer marketing strategies and you don't have the tools to look at what the audience look like.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone works for me and deploy a strategy and don't have access to that, I'll raise my eyebrows.
Yeah.
Because that means I can spend my money without knowing, am I paying for the right
thing? Right or not,
The tools are there. For instance, if you're an influencer, I can establish exactly in what region your followers are sitting.
Okay.
And I can get their age group and I can get the gender.
All right.
And only once I've disclosed that to you, you can make a fair decision, is this the kind of influencer
that I want to reach?
So it's actually very interesting is every time we get called in and the guy said, here's the list of names.
Yeah.
Because they're all registered on our platforms.
Yeah.
When you then give them this information, it quickly changes.
It changes
from they might not be the right ones.
The right ones,
And I also think there's a lot of value sometimes just moving out of those that pops up all the time because they're generally overused by people who don't have access to the tools.
Because there's no equity there. Yeah. So it almost feels like we have breached the introductory stage of influencer marketing in South Africa and are now moving into growth. Do you find that brands are becoming more adept at influencer marketing? That is now a point of how, not why.
Yeah, like I said, we're more on the schedules, which is great, but it's still not core business.
Okay,
I don't expect my clients to be experts in billboard advertising.
Right, yeah.
Because that's why the billboard guys are there.
Are there, yeah.
And that's why, hence what I'm saying is we formed this entity, Influential, which will focus on influencer marketing strategy. And I hope that we can introduce them a lot more into the conversation early on.
Yeah.
To assist with the strategy, and then regardless of who the end executors of the program, it comes on the back of a well thought through strategy.
Okay. And from an influencer perspective, it looks like these influencers are now turning into rock stars. You know, we see them everywhere online. Does that dilute authenticity? I'm saying this because it almost looks like the relationship becomes more of a transaction and more commercial. And it, does that take away authenticity of the message at the end of the day?
I mean, as the message is key. It's how you construct it.
Okay.
So that's where the strategy.
So back to your strategy,
comes in.
Yeah.
If I've got a million, if I'm a fashion model.
Yeah.
And I've got a million South African fashionites following me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go and put me in a place where in a burger joint.
Yeah.
Pretending I'm eating a hamburger. So I'm saying you have the message has to fit.
Yeah.
The influencer and what she's popular for.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is to stick to the conversation.
Yeah.
Where she built the audience on.
All right.
Or him or her. And that's again, it's a strategy.
Yeah.
I buy that brand, possibly go in and buy the eyeballs, not thinking will my message resonate with that audience.
With that audience, yeah.
And that's where you're mentioning. So the rock star influencers it back and say, I can't turn this money away.
Yeah.
But in the long haul, she's also, or he or she's also a brand, and by start pushing out the wrong messages, some of your audience just will disappear.
Yeah.
I personally find that the top tier influencers give you reach, but the value sits in the mid tier.
All right.
Because these are the guys where the audience has got a real affinity to them.
Yeah. And where do you place your nano influencers there? Because I figure that's an evolution of that space as well.
The nano influencers is intimate, where your influencers got intimate relationships.
Yeah.
So that would be
a huge grouping?
That would be someone on a Facebook who's got 500 friends.
All right.
But they're all handpicked.
Yeah.
You cannot become part of their tribe unless the individual
is handpicked.
Probably not open to public.
All right.
Their profile. So it's people that nano for me is very much, it's a known audience. I know everyone in that audience, or the bulk of them.
Yeah. All right. And on the selection of influencers, how do you come up with the top crop of influencers? Because I can imagine you get applications, so to speak, from a wide range of people and profiles. So how do you specifically select, number one, this we want to onboard, number two, this would be perfect for...
We onboarding all influencers.
Okay.
Because before you've onboarded them onto your program, you don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
So all influencers that's interested get onboarded, but that's where the vetting then takes place.
Okay.
And before you're being put forward for a campaign, either the technology has checked you out in terms of what your audience look like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on that Webfluential platform. Every half an hour to an hour, a snapshot is taken of everyone that's registered there of what their audiences look like.
Okay.
So if there's a spike within half an hour, it goes into exception bin.
Every
one of those get investigated.
Yeah.
So if you've done naughty things like buying followers and stuff like that, it easily gets picked up.
Yeah.
Also got a rating system.
Okay.
So every time an influencer has been involved with the brand,
the brand gets
rated by the influencer, and the influencer rates the brand.
Okay.
And or the brand, vice versa.
All right.
And
so
that star rating is very important, because if you come across as an influencer that don't really work good in these influencer relationships with brands, it will impact on your selection.
Yeah, then they shouldn't.
And it's
be
also
on the
good
next
to
one,
go
yeah.
back to a client and say, this guy, we can onboard him, but history has shown that he's got a 2-star rating working with brands.
Yeah. And what's the next big opportunity for influencers?
I think it's for me, one of the developments I'm keeping my eyes on is the ability for these guys to become your online shops. It's already there.
Okay.
Technology has been adapted to it.
Yeah.
That I effectively can be your influencer, but I can also be your online store. So if you say I'm a fashion brand.
Yeah.
I talk about your fashion, I wear your fashion, and at the bottom there's a link where you can go and shop, and all those shopping that came through my channel is attributed to me. Instead of paying me fixed fees, you pay me now on delivery.
So the net effect is growth basically for the influencers. No, I hope they are listening.
So the thing is there is that if you're authentic in your message and the product sits well with you, you will make a difference in your audience.
Yeah.
And the convenience of from the same, I don't have to move platforms to go and buy, I don't have to go and visit the shop, I do all
it's all done
for me. It's like sales agents.
Yeah.
You know, as if we go into a bricks and mortar shop now, someone helps you and you just want to write his name on the still slip.
Yeah.
This is just all gonna happen in the online world. I watch what you're doing, I'm interested, I click on the link and I shop. And those sales are attributed to the influencer, and he gets his percentage of whatever he's negotiating.
That's
going to be a big development.
All right. Recently, the South Africa advertising regulator was talking about coming up with regulations to social media and influencers. What do you think the net effect of that is going to be?
I think our technology is already adapted to that.
So
you must understand, we work with global brands.
All right.
And global brands were already aligned to this sort of these regulations from an international point of view.
Yeah, okay.
So our technology can accommodate it, and I actually welcome it, because that will take some of it will make the industry more credible in the local market.
Okay.
Because, you know, there are people that's possibly not doing all the right things.
Yeah.
There's plenty of examples of it. But then again, it's not legislated here yet.
Okay.
We try and stick to it.
Self-regulating, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. Not really, because there's no body or anything. But
all right.
If an international brand contracts with us,
yeah,
we stick to the rules that apply to them. Our technology, and also bear in mind that, like, for instance, our web credential technology is licensed throughout the world.
Yeah.
So it's already catering for all these legislative changes.
All right. There's always this recurring conversation in the market to the fact that you can't allocate a dollar return or a rand return to the activity of an influencer marketing campaign. Where do you see this? Is it true for starters? And if it is, where do you see this going?
Perhaps the world is run by too many accountants and engineers and too few ad people, because advertising is not all about, we all want a return, but it's a build. You build, marketing is being built.
Yeah. And it's a continual
influencer
process.
Influencer marketing is part of that. And
yeah,
for me, anyone says that it's not measurable, that's untrue.
Yeah.
So what do you want to measure? So normally in an influencer program, there's four things you want to do.
Yeah.
You either want to increase your brand engagement, and that's easy to measure. What was my brand engagement before?
Yeah.
And what was it after the campaign?
Yeah.
Or you want to improve your brand image. And again, there's ways and means of
to measure that as
image.
Well. Yeah.
You know, as I think, for instance, there's a lot of service brands that if they talk on social media, it's all negative. But
yeah.
If influencers talk about them, it tend to be all positive.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me that's not measurable, how that is. The other objective could be to create awareness,
yeah,
to attract a new audience.
Yeah.
Because if I want to get into that different tribe, I need to use one of those tribe members to get in there.
Yeah.
It's very measurable. How many of that tribe is now becoming a follower of me.
Okay.
So those
okay.
are the objectives. And the other one, which everyone always wants to go to first, is the sales.
Yeah.
But
yeah, everybody
influencer
runs
marketing has ways and means. We've got coupon codes in our influencer posts. And there's signatures that's been attached to all online transactions to see what has come through.
Okay.
So these things are all measurable. But I often find, it's like I said earlier, is you secure the money,
mm-hmm.
and then the thought process after that, the minds are not being applied.
So yeah.
We insist on every right. campaign, we insist, before the campaign breaks, what would be success?
Yeah.
And is it realistic? And if we agree, these are the success parameters,
mm-hmm.
at the end we report back on it.
Okay.
Where have we made it, where have we exceeded it, and where we haven't made it. Because that way you can always hold the client to say, listen, when we embarked on this journey, this is what you wanted.
This is what you wanted, yeah.
And this is what we've delivered.
Yeah.
And so I find it very few times that, like any marketing strategy, if you go straight, you launch a new product, you want to go straight into sales, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
First, build the brand trust. Influencers are good at that. Up the engagement.
All right.
Create a positive vibe and increase your awareness.
Yeah.
Because you're probably not in every store in the country.
Exactly, exactly.
And
yeah.
then start pushing the sales.
Yeah.
But the whole journey needs to be done.
Yeah.
But very measurable, very measurable. There's actually, in the ad people will tell you, there's very few media which you can attribute to rent value because they all work in conjunction with each other.
Yeah.
So for me, it's always the thing is, did my marketing mix deliver on the campaign?
Yeah.
Because I don't just use influencers. If my marketing mix hasn't delivered, then I should review within the individual elements
exactly,
which
yeah.
hasn't delivered.
Yeah.
Which delivered well, because then next time I should increase that portion
exactly,
of my mix.
Exactly, exactly.
And that way you get better and better.
Still takes us back to having a strategy.
That's it.
Yeah.
Good strategy
yeah.
will ensure that the delivery is there at the end.
Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
It's
been
pleasure.
A pleasure. And like I said earlier on, we'll try, and I know you're a very busy man, but we'll invite you back so that you take us through the social impact of your story, because I think the world needs to know, and the world could really learn a thing or two from you.
No, thanks, Sati. It was nice being here.
Yeah.
Thanks for all for the opportunity to share the answers to your questions.
Thank you, sir. Everybody else at home, you can download this and other podcast episodes on Spotify and iTunes. It's been a great one. We love you, but unfortunately we have to leave you. Until next week, until next time, spread the word. Bye.